crowds. A few things really that stuck with me, and you know, as a church, back in sort of September, October time, we wanted to refocus the church vision, and you know, because it's on the notice sheet, and we've been talking about it for a number of months now, that our vision as a fellowship, as a people, is to be Jesus in our community and to all nations. Okay, and that is the vision that we have as a fellowship, and that we also have four things that we put in as helping building blocks to help bring that to life, and that is to love and belong and to grow and serve. But the fundamental part of our vision is about being Jesus in our community and to all nations. And last week, Alan was sharing about the passion. So he was talking about a song that we sung it again this morning, that we're standing on the edge of something new. Okay? And that we're asking that God will take us deeper and further than we've ever gone before. And on Thursday, at our house group, I thought, when you sing those words and you are talking about God and maybe the desire to go further than we've ever been before, you're almost stepping out into something, well, because you've never been there before. What is it that we're actually asking God for? And so I asked the group, really, just to think about, well, what is it that you want? What is it that we're wanting to go deeper into? Because that, in a way, is important. Because if we're standing on the edge of something new, and we're wanting to go deeper and further than we've ever been before, we ought to know what at least to impart what our desire is for that to happen and to in our life. And because Alan was also talking about, you know, forgetting the former things. He was talking about in Isaiah 43, so forgetting the past of how we got to this point. So that'll be, and you talked about the fears, but also the successes. You know, we don't want to be just defined by our history. It's actually the definition that you said was that we want to be defined by Jesus' vision for us. You know, that future vision for us, and that's really, really important. Okay, as a church and as individuals, that we individually are defined by what Christ has got for each of us. Okay, because if we are going to be Jesus in our community, okay, well, if we're going to be Jesus in our community, that means that we're going to have to be Christ-like.
Absolutely.
It means that we're going to have to be, as it says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, imitators of God. Because that's the only way that we're going to be Jesus in our community. You know, because it is important. And it's important that we understand this, because it's that foundation that the world is crying out for. It's that bit of our Christ-like nature, okay, that is going to transform where we are today, transform our streets and our neighbourhoods, North Leeds, South Leeds, the whole of West Yorkshire, the whole of Yorkshire, hopefully into Lancashire, God willing.
All things are possible.
All things are possible. And the north and south of this country, and then to the ends of the earth. Because it's that Christ-like nature that is fundamental to everything that we do. Now, I don't know about you, I found it really easy to have a Christ-like nature. It's quite hard, isn't it? It is really, really hard to be Christ-like in everything that we do. But that's what we're called to be. Okay? If this world is going to be transformed, yeah, even Diane will laugh at that, alright? And she knows me. Okay? It is true that it is really hard to have a Christ-like nature. But, okay, the model is there. Okay? You look in this Bible, the model is there. There is no point, okay, trying to model anything else, okay? So we can talk about great Christian leaders. We can talk about people that inspire us today. But the reality is, there is only one model. There is only one role model, okay, that we should be modeling our lives on. And he's written about in this book. Okay? So there's everything that we need in this book about what Christ-likeness is. His nature, okay, is in this book. And we're going to get on to some of these. Because I think it's important to read some of the verses about what the nature of Jesus is about. Because if that is our desire, our focus, our church's vision, and our church vision isn't just our church vision, it should be our vision, individual desire to be more like Christ. Yeah? Because it's not just, oh well, you know, I'm not like Christ, but it's alright, 90% of the church are, so that's okay, because 90% of the church are Christ-like, and they're all doing it, so it's okay if I'm not. That's not what it means. Each of us has to have Christ-like nature. Each of us has to be having the vision and the focus of becoming imitators of God, individually, and take responsibility for that, those steps ourselves. So let's just have a look at some of the stuff, okay, about the role model that Jesus is. And let's just have a look at Matthew 16. It's really, you know, I'm a leader in this church, and in my workplace I manage a few people. It is really hard sometimes, okay, when you start in hierarchies, if you're near the top of a hierarchy, or, you know, and you're not at the bottom, Jesus' nature wasn't about hierarchies. He was the God incarnate who came down to serve on the earth so that we might have a relationship with God. And, you know, everything that he talks about, Matthew 16, verse 24. Read this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, so Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. We must deny ourselves. And that's really hard. We were talking about it on Thursday, weren't we? This balance in our lives between what we need, you know, our earthly needs to provide and to do things, does sometimes seem that we can't do what God wants as well. And it's really difficult. It's a really difficult balance. But we, okay, as followers of Christ, must learn to deny ourselves, okay, and take up our cross and follow Jesus. Because if we want to save our life, okay, we need to give it up for Christ. We need to submit our life. And submit, the word submit is such a difficult word in today's society. Nobody wants to submit. Nobody wants to submit to authority. Nobody wants to submit to their wives or to anybody, or nobody wants to submit to Christ. Everybody's saying, I have a right. It's my right. But it's not. He has given his life for us. And he's asking us to submit to his authority. Deny ourselves, David. Because it's a challenge. Okay? It's a challenge. And these are his words. Okay? Matthew 20. I just want to read a few things about Christ's nature for us. Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28. Put your pages on. Again, Jesus called them together and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he wants us to have that mindset. Okay? He wants us to have that mindset, okay? Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. He's turning the world on its head. He completely, you know, Jesus was so, I mean, some of the things he said were just completely nuts. If anybody walked up to you and said, you know, come follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Well, I know the context now. We all understand what that means, don't we? We all understand that now, don't we? Because of Jesus' life. But if he said that to you, and you were just walking down the street or doing a job, and you were doing something, your own job, and he came up to you and said, you know, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It just sounds nuts, doesn't it? It just sounds completely mad. But he did things, okay, for a purpose. Okay, he wanted to do things that the challenge of our lives is about not for going with the flow. He could have, you know, held, you know, said, I'm trying to get a group of good disciples together, you know, and we're going to meet at this point, and there are those people that might want to be disciples. But he didn't. He walked through, and he handpicked people. He saw where God was touching people, okay? And this is kind of what we're called to be, people that are going to step out and do things differently. There is a real challenge in here, okay? John 13, 3-16. Sorry, John 13, 13 to 16, sorry. 13 to 16, just make sure that James will catch up. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. We know this verse, huh? We know what Jesus did. We know that he is the Son of God, and we know that without any shame, he girded up his loins, and he bent down and he washed his disciples' feet. And he did it not as a symbol. He did it out of love. He did it to continue to demonstrate to us that that is, okay, how we are to live our lives. Serving one another. Whether we're at the top or at the bottom, we're called to be Christ-like. Ephesians 5 verse 1. And I said this earlier. We're called to be imitators of God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. Colossians 3, the verses of the chapter 1. Verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. These are some of the characteristics of Christ. He's the role model. It's a challenge. We could keep going. We could pull out loads of things in the Bible. You know, he was a healer, he was all of these things, he was a great teacher, a great person. His model for us, though, was about flipping the norm, the hierarchies, the standards that we set ourselves, that the world expects, on its head. That was his thing, okay? He didn't come to lord it over anybody. He came to serve and to transform the way that people saw a king. The way that people see kings, we lift them up. And he's saying, I'm not going to be put there. I'm going to be on my knees down here. And I'm going to show you, my people, my disciples, how to be like me. Because that is what the Father's heart is for us. And that's the challenge. If we are going to be Christ in this community, okay, and Christ to all nations, we have to forget where we come from, our church history. The hurts, the joys even. Remember them, okay? But don't be defined for the future by everything that has gone behind. It is pushing on, Okay? As both Joe and Alan said in the last couple of weeks, we should long for what Christ has called us for. Because it's not here, we're not the finished article today. But we are becoming more and more and more Christ-like. More and more and more like God. Until in the end, okay, when he comes back, we will be the perfect reflection of him. That is his desire for us. That is the desire of the Holy Spirit working in us. Is that we will be Christ in this world. Okay? And that is the challenge for us. So how are we going to do it? Because otherwise, okay, it's okay and we'll just keep saying, man, it's alright for Jesus, because he was like the Son of God, wasn't he? We are here to put this into practice. Okay, and they're going to happen in small steps. So whether it is feeding the homeless, that is being obedient to God's word, okay? And we, a church, are richly blessed, okay, by what we hear, the stories, and the answers to prayers that we hear, okay, when we come back from free feeding the homeless. But that is just one element of it, okay? We are doing, and we are being obedient, okay? And we're doing it out of love, okay? Because you don't give up your Saturday morning, okay, because you just feel you have to do it. We do it because we love to do it. Okay? You know, in the Bible, there's talk about, I think in Acts, Acts 20, it talks about it is better to give than receive, doesn't it? And I think Paul is quoting Jesus and says it's better to give than receive. You know, it is a blessing watching our children walk around and give out presents. It didn't make me well up yesterday. You know, just seeing them go and give some food up and give a Christmas present out. I just thought, that is what it's about. We're trying to be Jesus in a world that doesn't know him. That is the desire, isn't it, of our hearts. So we need to practice. And I'm not saying that you're going to go from zero to Jesus in one step. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that unless you take the first step, you're never going to get to the point where you want to be, which is being like Jesus. And so it's going to be a challenge. And what, you know, as Alan said last week, you know, unless we can forget the past and stop defining our history, and be start to be defined by the vision that Christ has got for us, our identity in Christ. Christ lived and died so that we would have all authority today. Not in 6 months' time. Today. That is the honest truth of the situation. Okay? We have all authority in Christ to command the sick to be healed. That's the reality today. Not in 6 months' time when we're a little bit older and a little bit more mature. If we understand our identity, all things are possible. All things are possible. God is asking us. Jesus is asking us. The Holy Spirit is asking us to move in us. When we hear a small voice, to take a step. To take a little step. To submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to move and to start to move. Because that, brothers and sisters, is the only way that this world is going to be transformed. Okay? Because we've got a role model, and you read the New Testament, the role model continues, every single person constantly pushes back to Christ-likeness. Paul says, okay, I have not got it, but I'm striving on for what Christ has got for me. I want to get it. I'm not there yet. And Paul was a brilliant teacher, a brilliant evangelist. And he said, I haven't got it all. I want to be Christ-like, more Christ-like. So we both put it into practice. So let's just give a couple more examples of Christ-likeness. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. It's James. We'll start giving you the wrong Bible verses in a minute, right? Just to slow it down. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's the hope, isn't it? That with the Spirit working in us, okay, that we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, okay, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, okay, there's hope that is now happening in our lives. Luke 6. Verse 4. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life and be raised up with him on the last day. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life and be raised up with him on the last day. Okay? Sorry, Luke. Oh, sorry, where am I? Luke 6. Oh, I'm in John. John 6, did that didn't sound quite like all that, but I couldn't Luke 6, 40. Sorry, yeah, that's it. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who's fully trained will be like his teacher. That's it. When we're fully trained, we can be like him. When we understand our identity, when we understand who we are, we're going to be like him. You know, these are God's words. And it's important. It's important that we start to understand that that is the desire of his heart for us. And John 13, so that's what I wrote down. John 13. John 13, verse 14 to 15. Now that I, your Lord, just read that out, it's the fact that God is giving us these examples. It's these examples that constantly come back to us, isn't it? About the fact that I tell you that the truth, that no servant is greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. You know, I have set the example that you should do as I have done for you. It's clear what God wants from us. John 15, verse 12. I spoke about this a while ago. So verse 12, John 15. Jesus gave us a command, didn't he? Okay? That my command is this, to love one another, okay? Love each other as I have loved you. He showed his disciples love. He showed us love by dying on the cross. Okay? And his command for us was that we, okay, love one another. Our challenge is to be Christ-like. To be the like what it says in the Bible. Now, it's really hard, isn't it? Because it was easier for the disciples. They had Jesus, they spent all the time with him, they're kind of with him all the time for years. And so it's quite easy to kind of be a role model if you're just following Jesus. And you come spending all the time with him, hearing him speak, hearing what he wanted them to do. But he consistently modeled this, didn't he? He said to the 12, he said, go out and do it, practice it. He wanted them to practice it. Because he knew there was going to come a time when he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Then he sent the 72 out. He said, look, do these things, I want you to practice it. Your challenge, my challenge, is to practice what it says. Because we're never going to get to the end without that. We can't become reflections of the living God without putting into practice the stuff that it says in the Bible. So, when we talk to each other, about forgiveness, it's like really hard, isn't it? Because we all have grumbles. There's always a reason to be grumpy with somebody. Well, in my world there is. Okay? Anybody that lives with me knows that I am a grumbler. I am just like a lonely me. Okay? Joe always said, just behave. I'm just like toes. But that is what I'm like. Okay? But I'm like, I'm commanded to forgive like God forgave us. I'm telling you these things about me so that it's important to me. Understand, I'm not over here. I'm like higher and got it sorted. Okay? My desire is to be like Christ. And I don't do it, okay, all the time. But it's my desire. And our desire needs to be people that serve. People that look at the world the way that Christ looks at the world. Because there's no point having a vision that says, be Jesus in our community, if we actually mean we want to be something else. Because it doesn't say, I want to be like Jesus in our community. It says we want to be Jesus in our community. And Jesus, we know, okay, brought light and hope to those that were lost. He brought healing. He transformed people's lives, didn't he, wherever he went. Is that our desire? Is it? Is that our desire? Yes or no? Yes? Because that's the challenge then, isn't it? Is that if we, the people in this room, okay, are going to do that, okay, then we're going to have to start practicing. We're going to have to start doing the stuff he says in the book. And you're right, we don't have Jesus here to show us the way every single day. Not like that, like this. Speak to them like this. Don't do this, do that. But we do have the Holy Spirit. Alright? And the reason we have the Holy Spirit is because God has sent the Holy Spirit, okay, to live in our lives, okay, to guide us, to teach us, to show us what the Father is saying. And it's that Holy Spirit, okay, working in us that is going to help us to become more and more and more and more like Christ. That is what is going to transform this world. Us submitting to the Holy Spirit and us moving on when the Holy Spirit tells us to do things. And it's important, and I'm saying this today, if, okay, anybody in this church is not filled with the Holy Spirit or has not experienced that, you will need to come forward, okay, at the end and get prayer. Because you are not going to be able to do it otherwise. Okay? Otherwise, you will be striving and striving through your own effort to do the things it says in the Bible. And it will be in your own effort. And you will run out of resources. And you will constantly come up against walls. Because if you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, how do you know which direction to go in? Because it's the Holy Spirit that is guiding us. It is the Holy Spirit that is telling us what we should be doing. And how we're going to save people in this world. I put on the notice sheet, 1 John 2. And I just want to have a read of that. Because Alan said something that last week, it was Billy Graham, wasn't it? That was saying, what exactly did he say? He was saying that if we were on trial, at the end of our lives, and would they find enough evidence to condemn us, to convict us as Christians? Would they find enough evidence to convict us as a Christian at the end of our days? And that for me is a real challenge, because I don't want to be driven by having to do more stuff, okay? But what I do want to be, okay, is at the end of my life, that God says, actually, you were my friend. I do know who you are. And on the balance of it all, I call you my friend. That's the desire of my heart. And the desire of our heart should be that happens. That at the end of our days, that we stand in front of him and he can say, you are my friend. You are my friend. Okay? So 1 John. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, the context of this verse, okay, is quite tricky, so I will go back and we'll read from verse 3 to 6. But that's the focus for me, okay, is that whoever claims to live in him must walk as he did, as Jesus did. And that is the challenge. Let's not talk about it. Let's not debate it. Let's do it. Because that is how this world is going to be changed. Right, let's just read from verse 3, okay? We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. It's tough, isn't it? But it's the reality of where we want to be. And I keep coming back to it. Our vision is to be Jesus in the community and to all nations. And if that is what it is, and you're sat here today because you believe in that vision, then the next question you're going to have to ask yourself is, well, how is it going to happen? And like I said, it's only going to be through a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, and walking as Jesus walked, that is going to turn it around. 1 John 3, just to put the pages on, verse 2 to 4. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure, just as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The end of verse 2 says, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. If we walk like him, we're going to be like him. We're going to be transformed into a Christ-like nature. 1 Corinthians 3. Corinthians 3, 17 to 18. I got transformed into Jesus, but I think this was close to that. Two Corinthians 3:17-18. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3, yeah, 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We saw that this morning, didn't we? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay? And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We like to quote Romans, don't we, about our minds being transformed. Romans 12, verse 2. Okay, about transforming of our minds. The time has come, okay, the time has come for us, the people of God, to start making some choices. Because we can't say one thing and do another. We can't do it, okay, if we believe what it says in the Bible. The time has come to walk like Jesus. The time has come for us to model and be imitators of God. The time has come to serve. The time has come for us to stop the moaning and to be forgiving of each other, okay? And remember that that is ultimately the most important thing. The time has come for us not to be defined by our past anymore, but be defined by the hope that we are being transformed into Christ's likeness. That is the hope that we have. Through the authority of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, and our identity in Christ, we will get there. The time has come, brothers and sisters, for us to become more Christ-like. For you, and for me, to become more Christ-like. And we're going to do that by reading and submitting to the Holy Spirit, reading about what Jesus' nature is like, and by submitting to the Holy Spirit when he says, do this. Just do it. This week, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And then, do the next thing, which is when he asks you to do something, and he answers, do it. Do it. Don't kind of wait for like lots of people to confirm it. Just do it. Okay? And see if you don't have something to testify about next week. About what God has done. Because that is the challenge. That is the challenge. We're going to see a world transformed. It can only be transformed by Jesus. And that, brothers and sisters, is you. And moving in the Holy Spirit. So, I'm going to finish. And I wanted to challenge you, because I want to challenge myself. We can't sit here on a Sunday morning and think about these things without really challenging ourselves. What is it that we need to do to become more Christ-like? Because I need to do it. I know I need to do it. I don't want to sit here and see a world not saved. I don't want to sit here and at the end of my days, God say, well, actually, I didn't know. I didn't quite do it. We've got a plan, okay? We've got a vision. And God has put us ahead of us things to do. And it's a challenge. All of this is a challenge. But it's all possible. All possible. Through the Holy Spirit. Please this week, think about what it is. When you're standing on the edge of something new and you want to be taken further and deeper than you've ever been before, when you sing those words and you think about those, what is it that you want him to do? What is it that you want? Because we need to know that. Pray this week that we will hear that to you. Pray this week. He's going to speak to you. Pray this week that we can put it into practice. Pray this week, okay, that we are becoming, that you will become more Christ-like, because I'm going to pray that this week. The desire of my heart is that. Okay? Please, if anybody does want prayer, I mentioned about the Holy Spirit, it is really, really important, okay, that we are guided and submitted to the Holy Spirit. If anybody, okay, do not. I know when people come forward, they go, oh well, it might be the Holy Spirit. You can come forward for anything, for prayer, okay? But please don't leave this place if you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit. It is so, so important to how we're going to move on in Christ. Okay, it's massively important. So please don't feel ashamed if you're coming forward. Do not, okay, just do not leave this place today. Because otherwise it's not going to happen. You can't do all this stuff without the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Whether you're young or old, you just can't do it. Okay, so please don't leave this place without someone praying that the Holy Spirit touch your life today. And you fill with the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's it.
This time, this is important. It is vital that we do come to be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It does sort of play, and I think it's an opportunity. It's, the meeting's not over. I'm really saying, if you really want to be like Jesus, then you need to know to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, when he was transformed, when he went up into heaven.